You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
We've all heard the saying, teamwork makes the dream work. Well, this couple took that saying to the very next level.
So out of the 168, about 150,000 of that was student loan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all didn't have any credit card debt?
No.
No.
This young couple's decision to become completely debt-free the first year of their marriage has completely changed their life's trajectory. I mean, think about it. Most marriages end because of money issues. Well, they've decided to take that issue completely off the table.
All right, everybody's healthy, we're good, we're employed, da-da-da. Okay, this is the time, student loan pause, like all these factors in place. But then again, no, life happens, right? And so what we did was we set principles in place.
So good. So dope.
I just needed memories. I didn't want to look back and feel like, okay, we sacrificed all of our joy.
I used to tell like, man, there's a difference between cheap and broke.
Now, before we hop into today's show, I want to remind you of the book of the month, Goals by Zig Ziglar. Be sure to grab your copy linked in the description box down below. And while you're there, yes, I know, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you can be notified every single time we drop a new video. Alrighty now, let's hop into the show.
Welcome to the table, yeah, yeah. We gon' get real, we gon' get right. Boy, building up wealth, we gon' give life. Welcome to the table, yeah. Welcome to the table.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the table. It's your boy, Anthony O'Neill, and I'm super excited because we have a beautiful, young, thriving couple in the building today who paid off over $168,000 in a short amount of time. And so before we get to them, hey, I just want to remind you that my good friend and one of my teammates, Michelle, said, hey, make sure that you are joining the E3 family where we are increasing. We just got out of a full week of praying of how we can increase in abundance, wellness, and freedom. This is the community to where we're focusing on expanding in those three areas. And you could do and join that family by hitting that subscribe button. Follow me over on Instagram, and I promise you, you will be absolutely amazing. But I want to get straight into today's show, man. We have a young couple, Laurent and Asia. Asia, see, I'm getting it, Asia.
Yeah.
And they are at the table today with an amazing story, with an amazing journey that I believe is going to inspire all of us when it comes to our financial journey. So get your pens, get your paper, and ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the table for the first time, my good friends, Laurent. And Asia. There we go. All right, I gotta get it. What's going on, fam? How y'all doing?
We're excited to be here.
We doing good.
Man.
How you doing? You doing all right?
You know, it's good, man. You know, we are in January, and it's 2024.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a year for me. I'm 40 this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
congratulations.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. 40 this year, 4 years in the business,
mm-hmm.
and it's a pivotal year for me. I left some things in 2023, you know, that I felt like they weren't negative things, but they really weren't things helping me get closer to the vision that I believe God has given me. And I think this is going to be a year of tests, trials, some tribulations, but then also some rewards. And I just got to be diligent. So I feel good, man. Thank you for asking that question on my show. No one ever asked me that.
For sure.
But I feel good. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, man. Had a nice, smooth drive out here.
Where y'all from?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Yeah. How long was the drive?
About 7 hours.
About 7.5 hours.
Yeah. For real?
Yeah.
Not too bad. Thank you, man,
for driving. Yeah,
of course, man. We have some family out this way.
You do?
Yeah, so we stayed with them, got to see my little baby niece, and spent some time with them. We ain't seen them in a while, so it was a good excuse.
For real?
Yeah.
Listen, man, anytime someone gives me, when someone says I can travel to San Diego, California, I tell the man, listen, you ain't got to pay me. Just get me a flight.
Yeah.
And get me a hotel.
Yep.
You ain't getting me a hotel. Just give me a flight. Yeah. You know, because, I mean, I got my nephews and my niece in Cali. So it's just always a joy to see them. Like, you know, and I have a new nephew, Elijah, my little brother, John Gibbs. And, man, so if y'all want to book me, come speak at your event. I just require a round trip ticket. And if you're in the San Diego area, you know, don't even know how to. just get me to California. Let me stay an extra couple of days so I can see my family.
For sure.
I got you. For sure. But y'all, I want to get into y'all's story because I think it was about a month or so ago, Michelle sent me a nice long email saying, hey, we got to get this amazing couple on the show. And she doesn't send me a lot of people. She's very protective of who we have on the platform because she knows me. And when she sent me y'all, man, I was highly impressed. This was right before I went on my Christmas sabbatical. And I said, yo, Michelle, set it up. And I loved y'all's journey. You know, and I want to start, I want to go all the way to the beginning. But you all paid off $168,000 in how long?
31 months.
31 months. $168,000 paid off in 31 months, right? When you all were starting this journey, were you all married at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the beginning of y'all's marriage.
Yeah, so we had been married.
Actually, a year in, about.
Yeah, about a year.
A year in.
Yeah, we got married in March. We paid off our car in October.
October. Yeah. So you're a year in and y'all going hard.
Yeah.
So you got $168,000. At that time, right, what was y'all's combined household income?
About $98,000.
$98,000. Combined household income.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. So, what's that 168? Break that down for me.
So, my student loans.
Student loans, okay.
Undergrad and grad.
Okay.
Her student loans for undergrad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then her car.
Car. So, the majority of it was student loans.
Yeah. Yep.
My student loans specifically.
Your student loans specifically. Yeah. What do you have a career in?
So, I'm in advertising. I'm a senior copywriter.
So, you had to go to get all them student loans for advertising?
Yeah, so I went to Kent State for undergrad in marketing.
Okay.
And I didn't focus on copywriting in undergrad, but that's what I wanted to do. So I had the raw skills, but needed to kind of get their credentials. So I went to Boston University for their advertising program.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then what's your degree in?
Marketing.
Marketing, too?
Yes.
We got two marketers here?
Yes.
Did y'all meet in school?
No.
Y'all met on the job?
No. We met.
So how did two marketers meet each other?
You go ahead.
So he's a creative at heart. I'm more on the technical side of marketing.
So what's your technical side? Like, what do you do on the marketing side?
Yeah, so I work in digital advertising, media buying.
Oh, media buying.
Mm-hmm.
So do you come after people like me, or do you help people like me find deals? Which side are you on?
Like,
are you placing ads on, like, different shows and TV networks?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see what's up. Okay, so you're in the media buying.
Uh-huh.
You're helping people market their products, services, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and y'all were making $98,000. So both of you all went to school for, you went to school for that as well?
For
marketing?
Yep.
Wow. And then what kind of car did you have?
I had a Ford Fusion.
A Ford Fusion.
2014.
2014.
Yeah, actually still do.
Still do? You're still driving it?
Mm-hmm.
It's paid for.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious, how much did you pay for it? Did you buy it brand new?
No, it wasn't brand new. We probably got that for about
$14,000,
I think.
$14,000.
We were dating, but we weren't married at the time.
Okay. All right, and then So, goodness gracious, y'all. So out of the 168, about 150,000 of that was student loan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all didn't have any credit card debt?
No.
No,
she's never even.
Yep, I was like, I've actually never.
You've never had a credit card.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not shocking to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even upset with the $14,000 in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was like the student loans. That's just normal. I want to start right there. What's y'all's thoughts on student loans today? Like, when you all have kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Do y'all have any?
No.
Okay. Do you plan to have some?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you all have kids, what would you say? What's your philosophy on student loans?
Yeah. You can go for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll educate them about it, but I mean, we already have plans for the 529.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it'll just be, we'll want to educate them on the position that they're in,
mm-hmm.
so that they can educate other people and understand the privilege that they have,
mm-hmm.
but it won't be something that they have to worry about.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think for me, like kind of going into college, I didn't understand a whole bunch. My dad tried to like talk to me a little bit about it, but I just didn't understand how important like scholarships were. Yeah. I wasn't applying for scholarships. Mm-hmm. I just assumed like, well, my parents are going to take care of it. I can kind of go wherever.
Right.
I will say I listened to them about not going out of state. Originally, I wanted to go out of state to a private school. So
okay.
I did listen a little bit there. But yeah, it wasn't until I got to college and a lot of like my schoolmates were, you know, on scholarship, were graduating without loans, and then I realized the weight of what it was. So I think the education there as well.
Yeah.
Do you all feel that college in your particular field, that you all needed to go to college to get where you all are today?
Mm.
Is that a required degree to be successful?
I'd say no.
Okay.
In my field as a creator, so the terminology is creative professional, right? So I'm a copywriter, right? So I write ads, write slogans, right?
Okay.
Write scripts for commercials and things like that, right?
Okay.
Billboard signs, right? That's kind of my space.
Okay.
And learning a lot of the craft is inherent, right? So a lot of people get into it. They come from all the different types of fields.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have different, like, ad schools you can go to kind of hone it,
mm-hmm.
but you don't necessarily have to go to that level. I think for me, because it's not what I did in undergrad, it's why I pursued a higher level degree. For myself, being younger, especially as a black man,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the positions I was able to obtain to increase our salary and our mm-hmm. household income the way I did,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't have looked that way without the degree in my situation.
Okay.
But in order to just get in the field, to get your foot in the door, you didn't have to take out as much debt as I did.
If you could go back from the very beginning, mm-hmm. would you change anything?
Oh, I would have, because I was very ignorant in the sense of like, not even ignorant, I just didn't pay attention, right?
Okay.
Like what she was saying, like I could have thought about scholarships. I could have thought more about, hey, how can I actually pay for this? Maybe, but again, it was just out of sight, out of mind. So mm-hmm. I would have been more intentional about taking care of costs up front,
mm-hmm.
maybe selecting schools differently or something mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, I made myself feel better about it because they weren't really offering my program anywhere.
Okay.
And it wasn't very expensive. It was like 80K
for your undergrad.
No, for
your
grad.
Master's.
Yeah. I only had about, because my pops put a lot of cash down, but I only had about 20K coming out
undergrad.
But that 80K from grad, it turned into like 110.
Did you go to a private school for your grad?
I think it's a public university? Yeah, I think it's public.
Public, okay.
Yeah, it's public.
And still 80K.
Yeah, and it was out of state.
Oh, you went out of state.
I went to Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to one of the most expensive states.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What about you?
Yeah.
Would you change anything on top of getting scholarships? Like, would you... Like, does your particular field... Well, no, you're in the techie side of things, so you probably mm-hmm. do need a degree for yours.
Yeah, definitely needed a degree. Like, when I first graduated and was applying to my first big girl job, definitely mm-hmm. needed a degree, so I was able to see the value of the degree. But mm-hmm. honestly, I had maybe one class that talked about digital advertising. Like, to get a marketing degree, it was just like... It was very, very new to me. I didn't even know like that world existed as far as a career. So I think if anything, like just thinking a little bit more, I kind of went to school because it was what you do when you graduate college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had absolutely no idea. So I was kind of just going with the flow. I think more intentionality is something that I would go back and probably change. Staying in state definitely helped, but maybe I didn't need that expensive a degree.
You know, I think my listeners are always looking for different ways to make different money. And I've never had marketers on my show. Mm. Oh. I want to spend a little bit of time and break down exactly like what your positions are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because someone may be listening, but I might be interested. Mm-hmm. Mm. So let's start with you, Ashay. What exactly, so you're in the tech side of marketing, what exactly, break down exactly what your career field looks like.
Yeah, so it's called programmatic advertising.
Okay.
It's very similar to like social media advertising or like advertising on Google. The way I like to explain it is honestly the annoying ads that people buy ad blockers for.
Yeah.
But they're really effective. So I've always worked for an agency. So okay. I work with a lot of, especially now, B2B brands.
Okay.
And what we do is essentially help them find their target audience. So it's a lot of just buying on ad platforms to from third-party vendors who sell data and getting their ads in front of people who care about it.
So pretty much, if I'm not mistaken, it's almost like if they listen to my podcast, the audio version, mm-hmm. those ads that come up before my show or like mid-roll, those are programmatic ads. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, actually, because even like really social media ads, it's all programmatic. It's just when you're buying ads digitally.
Okay.
But more what I do, I guess, is more like streaming services or like if honestly playing games on your phone.
Wow. So when I'm playing like cards on my phone, the ad that come up, that's what you help place.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I'm serious. I'm like, yo, how do you know I would like this ad?
Yeah, it's not as creepy when you're on our side of it.
Because it's creepy on our side.
It is.
I just said this, and now I'm seeing an ad?
Yeah.
But it's not, why is it not creepy on your side? I'm curious.
So, like, we work with a lot of vendors, essentially, who basically come up with the technology for it. So, like, when they explain the technology, it's like,
oh, it makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you see an ad, you're like, oh, I understand how I got this. Because you're on the back end saying like it makes sense.
Yeah.
Without saying too much about your job, can you give us an example of why you're like, okay, that makes sense?
Yeah, it's not, one, I know it's not an FBI agent. That's assigned to me.
Yeah. My definitely
dog. Yo, bro, I'm seeing the same thing.
Cover this camera.
Right.
It's just it's all the computer work. It's somebody saying like, hey, there's somebody in this house who is a black male, 31 years old, who likes these type of clothes. And because this phone was in this house, there's a TV in this house connected to this phone. So when they're watching this ad on Hulu, let's serve them the ad.
What?
Yeah. Mm.
So is it true that some of the ad platforms out there are listening to what we're saying?
I've talked to one vendor who has talked about the technology to listen,
Wow.
I've never actually worked with anybody, but I've heard it,
You know, when you get that information, come back on the show.
Yeah.
Because I'd be sitting there like, wait, like, I just walked out of Walgreens looking at Dove, so why do I have Dove soap on my, you know, Instagram?
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, it's crazy. Or why do I go on a website? Do you help place, like, on websites? I could have have something on my phone, go to a website on my computer, and then I see that ad that I'm looking on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there's location data. There's just so much data that people are selling.
And in your professional opinion, can we hide from it?
I don't think entirely.
I
feel like I've gotten to a place too where I just accept that it's happening. Even if somebody's watching me through my camera, I'm like, well.
Dang. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. That's so intelligent. Not intelligent, but I love learning new things. Mm-hmm. We've never had someone on the show tell us that. And it's not creepy. It's just the way technology is going.
Yeah.
Recently, I've completed my full estate plan, and it's been an emotional journey, if I'm going to be honest with you. But now I have a peace of mind knowing that my family and loved ones are well taken care of. But here's something you may not know that I think you need to know. According to a recent study, nearly 60% of African-American adults have life insurance. Now, wait a minute. Many of these policies may not provide sufficient coverage to fully protect their families in case of unexpected deaths. This lack of adequate coverage is a pressing issue among the Black community. It can lead to financial difficulties and potentially hinder the building of generational wealth. In today's time, it's more important than ever for African Americans to give priority to life insurance and estate planning. You see, by doing so, you can ensure that your loved ones are secure in the event of your passing. This covers funeral and burial costs, clears all debts and mortgages, and provides a financial cushion to help them continue building wealth, long-lasting wealth. Don't leave your family's financial future to chance. I want you to secure life insurance today. I want you to get a free life insurance quote through my friends at Ethos. All you gotta do is go to anthonyoneal.com/life insurance. Again, that is anthonyoneal.com/life insurance for your free quote, or click the link in today's show notes. Protect your family's future and attain a peace of mind. Act right now, and let's get back to today's show. I mean, technology is... it's technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that is dope. So, Laurent, on your side, when you say you help people write content, break that down so people can understand that a little bit.
So usually when I say copywriter, people think copyright like legal sense.
Yes.
So the word is copy like writer, like actual writer. So those are the guys who are writing the slogans, the taglines, the headlines.
Okay.
Like I said, the billboards, the scripts, content for websites, email campaigns, right? So, and honestly, being a writer, you know, it can take so many different shapes.
Yes.
And it can be utilized in any different, you can be an author, you can, you know, when we were like finding other sources to pay off the debt, right? I was freelancing out to other businesses, writing for content for them, right? So there's so many different shapes it can take, but like, I've known that's what I wanted to do since I was in high school in some capacity.
Because you like words.
Because I love words, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that you all have paid off this debt, y'all been married for 4 years, on this journey for 4 years, being in the copywriting business, being in the technology side of the marketing space. What's y'all's combined income now?
A little over $200,000.
Good God. $200,000 income.
Yeah.
And is that all coming from W-2 jobs, or y'all still doing stuff on the side?
That's just from our W-2 job. We don't even really... count the
side hustles.
The side hustles,
Give me a ballpark. If you had just guessed, like,
we were talking about it the other day. Over the, cause I didn't even, she supported me in starting up about three businesses.
Three businesses?
From 2021 to now.
Okay. And what are your three businesses? I'm curious.
So I'm a spoken word artist.
Okay.
We asked you how we met in the poetry space.
Okay.
So I do a spoken word poetry, a little bit of motivational speaking as well.
Okay.
And so that's solo. And then I used kind of that to start a program called Out of the Heart, based off Luke 6:4-5, Out of the Abundance of the Heart, the Mouth Speaks. So it's a spoken word training and poetry development program.
Okay.
So I go to universities, go to high schools, and actually perform poetry, but also teach them how to write and perform poetry.
Wow.
And our whole notion is empowering potential through poetry.
Wow.
And kind of helping students discover their voice and build confidence and things like that. And then fitness. I started a faith-based health and fitness program called Tending to Your Temple. Which I started right around COVID after losing about 60 pounds in about 7 months. And I was like, all right, well, I want to share this with some people. And I want to share how my faith influenced that. And started doing seminars, started teaching boot camps. Right now I'm teaching dance classes.
Wow.
So yeah, definitely have stayed busy. and she's been there with me every step of the way.
Right.
You know, hey, babe, I got to run out to this gig. Cool, here's your lunch real quick.
What?
You know what I mean? So... just having that support, you know, having her behind me, like, you know, and that cheerleader, man, it changes. I was already a focused individual before I got married, but I tell guys all the time, like, it becomes laser.
When you got that married. Right run.
Yeah.
So you're a marketer, fitness, and spoken word.
Yeah.
Those are your three main things that you're really focused on.
Yeah.
And y'all are making combined 200K. Are you doing anything on the side as well? Or you do your full-time job and you support your husband?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, there's like a few little things, but I'm not seeking opportunities.
She's a lot smarter than I am. Like her, even till recently, her job, and part of the reason why I didn't, because she was like, yeah, I can DoorDash. Especially when we was in it, I was like, no, I really want you to.
Right.
Because her job, I mean, you heard it. It was very stressful.
Yeah.
Right. It was a lot of moving pieces. Me, like I said, I'm creating all day. Right. Yeah. You have some ups and downs or whatever, but my work life balance allowed me to take on. You know, I joke with my boys. Like, I was feeling like Uncle Ruckus from. But I had like five different jobs. Right. But like, I was able to do that because mentally, I didn't have that load that she had during the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she was feeling some type of way, like, well, I wanna tag in. I was like, no, you are tagging in. Like, when you, maybe my lunch before I go to a gig, when you show up, or when I go to a gig, and I had a seminar where I was speaking at a church, and I forgot my paper. she ran back to the crib to grab him because I still had to stay there. You know what I mean? So I'm like
partnership.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So like that's where I really needed her.
I'm curious, Ashay.
That's Aisha, by the way.
Aisha.
I know you want me to correct you.
Yeah.
I want to
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's your wife. Correct me.
Aisha. No, you good.
Aisha.
You good. Yeah.
Aisha. It's almost like Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could just say Aisha. You could just say
that too. That's good. Yeah.
But no, it's Aisha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not Asia.
Yeah. She fancy.
Either.
Aisha. Yeah. I got it now. I'm going to think of Aisha. Aisha. I'm going to get it right, y'all. Don't get it twisted. So Aisha, I'm curious. Was that hard for you to not contribute extra financially, as a smart, intelligent, beautiful woman? Like, was it hard to be like, my husband, he doesn't want, like, did you, or was that easy for you to be like, okay, cool, I don't need to work?
Yeah, I think initially it was the pressure of wanting to. And I would do little things on the side, like graphic design. I always saw myself as more of a creative than even my job allowed.
Okay.
But definitely when he was like, you know, it's fine, that really took the pressure off, where it's like,
yeah,
I'm only adding unnecessary pressure to myself, because especially when we first got married, like my job was, it was really stressing me out.
Yeah. I like that because, you know, when you meet smart, intelligent ladies like yourself, sometimes they want to contribute because they don't want to feel like the man is controlling the relationship.
Yeah.
How did you all, as you were going through this journey of eliminating $168,000, how did you two stay on the same page on this journey without you feeling like he's controlling the money, without you adding stress onto her? Like, what were some key things that helped you all get on the same page, get aligned, and really get through this journey? Because $168,000, bro, like, that ain't no play money.
Yeah.
You know, y'all did that in less than 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely took time. I was not on board. I thought he
you
was
wasn't
not,
on board?
Not initially.
You thought he was crazy to pay off. Wait, hold up. Wait, and pause. Yeah. Pause. Let's. It just hit me.
Yeah.
Y'all took advantage of the student loan pause.
Yep. Yeah.
So now I see why you're thinking, we don't have to pay anything right now.
Yeah.
Because it's not due. But you're like, nah, we gonna pay this thing.
Yeah.
How? Okay, wait a minute. Yeah, this is about to be good.
So actually, the pause is what kind of got me on board.
Okay.
Because he was talking about it a little bit before.
Yeah.
It was, I was worried about, we just got married. I want to enjoy the first years of our marriage. You know, like, we weren't having kids yet. Like, this is our honeymoon time, and COVID already kind of
killed it.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, what are we really sacrificing here? I was ready to take my loans to the grave. I was like, you know, everybody's doing it. Like, what really happens if we die with them? But, you know, he's always had it on his heart. His mom's always, like, spoke that over him. She was definitely our biggest supporter, I would say, throughout our journey. So seeing, like, how committed that he was, and to your point, like, getting married, I was 24 at the time. I was nervous. I was like, okay, how do I be a good and supportive wife, but also I want to be involved in our finances. I was never comfortable just being like, you got it, and
that's
I trust
good.
It. So I think that was hard. But, I mean, over those months that we weren't paying it off, he really wanted to start. And the fact that he was not willing to just, like, we're doing this anyways, you know, that established a lot of trust for me. So eventually, you know, I prayed about it, and I felt like this was what we were supposed to do.
How did you get her on board, man?
Yeah, so I, when I first approached her about it, I was like, hey, look, you know, the reality of it is, this is our loans, right? Six figures in debt. Mm. We're not even, at the time, making six figures. I was like, even if I start making this amount of money on my own, it's not you get your salary all at once, right?
Yeah.
I like, we're still being a red.
Yeah.
And that really kind of got us on board. And I was really just telling her about the opportunities that will open up if we just clean the slate.
Facts.
You know what I mean? If we start out in the black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was tough. You know what I mean? Like, we talk a lot about, we live in an age of, like, comparison culture.
Yep.
And that was something that was really tough to initially. She's like, nobody doing this. Like, who's doing this? Like, why we got to do it? Like, we're making decent money. Like, let's just enjoy it. And I was like, I can't do this without you. So if you say no, I can't force you to, but I want us to do it together, take some time, pray about it. She came back.
How long did it take you to come back? to be like, I'm on board, honestly?
I would say a few months. So we got married in March, okay. and then we paid off my car. I think that was probably like him trying to get my feet wet a little bit.
Yeah.
And that felt good to pay off the car. That was a big step. And then I think around that time.
How much was the car
now? When we paid it off, we probably put like $6,000 down.
$7,500.
He'll remember down to the cent.
He was like, oh, baby, give me all the money. Give all the money.
Yeah.
Man, so, okay, so a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who brought the conversation back up? Did you come to him and say, hey, babe, I got it? Or did you ask, like, hey, babe, have you thought about what we talked
really,
about?
I really can't. I just remember because we would meet regularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We would have budget meetings and things like that, especially after we paid off the debt. So I think it was around, we do, like, devotional meetings and we do budget meetings. So when we were having one of our budget meetings, we were like, hey, just checking in, how you feeling? Now, the biggest thing, this is why I didn't share with you, we were initially saving up for a house, right? Because, you know, it's what you do, right?
Yep.
Get married, you might have six figures in loans, let's put down a mortgage on a six-figure house. And so we had close to $20,000 in the bank.
What?
And I was like, hey, I know we paid off your car when we weren't planning to, because that was initially money that was going to be the down payment for the house.
Okay.
Paid off the car, started back up the house fund. I was like, hey, babe, look, I really feel like we should just throw this whole thing toward the debt.
Mm.
She looked at me like I had three, four, five heads. And she just was like, my security.
Yeah.
Like, what am I, like, I don't feel comfortable with that. For what? For debt that nobody's paying anyway? That's silly, right? So, again, she had to take some time, and that's really what she had to take some time and pray about and come back, because she didn't feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't feel good about spending the $20,000 in the savings account because you felt as if you will not have financial security.
Yeah, I think it was the financial security. Also, it was like, we've been saving this up over time. Our plan is to get a house. So, like, every time that we threw a large amount of money towards debt, it felt like what I saw in our future was getting further and further away.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how did y'all change the image? So if you're saying, okay, my future is getting further and further away because I don't see money in the account, we're not buying a house, but we're still living the life that we're living, and you don't really see that debt really moving like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, life is not changing when you're eliminating debt.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people it's not a math problem. I think it's more of a mind and a spirit problem that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, how did y'all keep going when you didn't see your future getting closer?
Yeah. I think for me, like you said, it's definitely a mental and a spiritual thing. I really struggled with the whole comparison thing because nobody around us was doing it.
Around y'all was doing it.
No. No, I think eventually there was like a few people who
we met like one couple on year three. We was about done. Yeah, we met like, hey, we about to pay off our debt in a few months. They're like, oh, we've been on this journey for a few years too. Like, but that was at the end. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
We had some friends. We had some friends who were paying off some debt and things like that, and subscribed to the Ramsey philosophy, your philosophy, or anything like that. But it was far fewer, especially student loans. The couple we're talking about, they didn't have student loans.
I think that's the dope part right now,
yeah.
is that I know there were a lot of people who took advantage of it, but the majority of people did not take advantage of
their
student loans.
You're talking about the pause?
Yeah, pause.
Oh,
like, okay, you had no interest being a cure. Why would you not attack it? If you had a job, if you had at least a decent amount in savings to where if you did lose your job, you could bounce back because you have savings. But if you were in a good place, why would you not want to attack it?
Yeah, that was huge.
My debt, my interest, when like the interest was accruing, was $18 a day.
Hold up, wait.
Yeah.
We about to add this up. So you were making you were being charged $18 a day.
Yeah.
Let's say for an example, okay, let's say we had no pause.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were making your regular payments.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you think it would have took y'all to pay off the student loans? Just making the minimum payment.
Mm-hmm. I'm making the minimum?
Just the minimum, because that's what everyone's doing right now. I'm going to make the minimum payment.
I was paying on my loans when it went from 110 to 123.
What?
Yeah, my combined from my undergrad and graduate came together at 110.
Okay.
I was making payments, right? It still hit up to 123.
You were making payments. I want to say this again. Hey, Jay, put that camera on me. I need to see my face. Because I don't think the people are understanding what you just said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were making your regular monthly payments. Mm-hmm. How much was your regular monthly payment?
Like $100.
$100, okay? Yeah. So you were paying $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Your total loan balance after you graduated from grad program
mm-hmm.
was $110,000.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're still making your monthly payments.
Mm-hmm.
It went from $110,000 to $123,000.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't borrow $123,000.
No.
And that's why they had to go.
You probably didn't even borrow $110,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it went up because of interest,
mm-hmm.
because you're making the minimum payments.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect, Ashay. But a lot of people probably think, I'm just going to pay this until I die.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is going up.
Mm-hmm.
So then when COVID hit, pause. Let's be real. If you kept that up, you would have did exactly what your wife said she wanted to do.
Yeah, to the grave.
Yeah.
To the grave. It would have been on my tombstone. Lorenche, $123,000. Sorry, $140,000.
Right.
Yeah, the way, and this is what I encourage people as far as to look at it differently. If for whatever reason, you know, preferably for not the same reason, but if there were to be some type of pause,
mm-hmm.
the way we looked at it, especially the fact that it was paused for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, paying off loans, it's a battle, it's a fight. We looked at it like a boxing match, right? When you're in a ring with another boxer, they can punch back.
Yep.
Right? That's the whole point. I punch you, you punch me, I block. But when the pause happened, it's like somebody tied their hands behind her back, set them down in the chair, tied their legs, and I just had to wail on them, right?
Right.
And then she did the knockout punch, and then it's a wrap. You know what I mean? But when the interest is stacking, they can fight back.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? They can punch back, and you might lose.
Yeah.
You know, you might not even make it to the 12th round.
You will lose.
Sure. Yeah.
There's 365 days. Do I have a calculator on my iPad? I don't know. Cause I want to do the math for people.
Yeah.
I want the people to see this right here.
If it helps, I do remember that my $18 a day was like $540 a month in interest.
Here we go. We about to get it, brother. continue. I want to do the math here. I gotta pay for a calculator.
The disrespect.
The disrespect on an iPad. I can't believe this, y'all. What? They made me pay $5.99. For a calculator. This is crazy. So you was getting, you was being charged, I'm pulling up my notes here.
Mm-hmm.
You were being charged $18 a day. There's 365 days in a week, in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do the math here. 365 times $18, that's $6,500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You were being charged in interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no way in the world. All right, so hold on, we're gonna do this math here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in interest a year, you're paying $6,000, mm-hmm. what did I just say? It's $570,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's what you're paying a year
mm-hmm.
in interest. But you're making $100 a month. You're paying $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, family? Let's talk about something that's been buzzing in the tech world, AI safety and security. How do you feel about the rapid advancements in AI and the potential risk that it brings? Have you heard of the stories about AI being tricked? It's a real concern, but fear not, because there's a real solution, AI Red Teaming. You see, AI Red Teaming is all about stress testing. You see, AI models and deployments to prevent unauthorized access and data leaks. It's about ensuring that your AI can't be tricked into providing information beyond its intended use. And guess what? You don't have to do it alone. My friends over at HackerOne has a community of over 750 active hackers specializing in AI security testing. You see, in a recent engagement, just 18 hackers identified over 100 valid findings in just 2 weeks. That's the power of ethical hackers. Wow. So if you want to ensure the safety and security of your AI deployments, look no further. Head over to HackerOne.com and explore their AI red teaming services. With strategic flexibility, rapid deployment, and a hybrid talent strategy, HackerOne has everything you need to safeguard your AI. Don't let AI keep you up at night. Visit HackerOne.com today and rest easy knowing that your AI is in safe hands.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Which is your minimum payment.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, so that's easy math.
Mm-hmm.
It's $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
You would have never paid it off.
Nope.
No. And that's the point.
Yep.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So 6570, you know, 6570 minus 1200, that's highway robbery.
Yeah.
Your payments are still going up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up by $5,300 a year.
Yeah.
By making a minimum payment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the government wants for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want us to be debt free.
Mm-hmm. No.
They don't want us to have freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to go to your grave paying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time you go to the grave, you've paid them back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What you originally borrowed.
Yeah.
And then some. Mm-hmm. And then they get to write off the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not a fan of student loans.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. Like, I'm a fan of education.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I believe education is one of the most important things that we can honestly have.
Mm-hmm.
We need that to be successful. You needed the education so that way y'all could be making $200,000 at a young age. Like, but there has to be a different way we can get the education without racking up any debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the fact that you all, and including myself, we had to pay back money on top of our student loan stuff, like, man, this is...
Yeah.
This is scary.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is really scary.
Mm.
But you know, I love the fact. When do y'all plan on having kids?
Probably within the next year.
Next year.
Cool. Within the next year.
Have y'all opened up a 529 yet?
No, not yet.
Y'all need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely encourage everyone. Mm. I have a 529, and I don't even know if I'm gonna have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But here's a good thing: if I do not have kids, I can turn the 529 over to my nephews and niece, which mm-hmm. they already have a 529 up underneath my name.
Wow.
So I can give that to anybody, mm-hmm. or I can just turn it into an IRA. But if I pass, it just goes to my trust and it pays out mm-hmm. my trust.
And that's new that it can be an IRA now, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's recently new. So you can transform that into an IRA,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I would highly recommend that. So that way your kids don't have that. So like, I will go, even if I'll just put $50 a month into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even those of you all who are listening, even if you do not have kids yet, mm-hmm. you can open up a 529. You can put yourself or your trust as mm-hmm. the beneficiary of it, mm-hmm. right? And then once you have kids, you can transfer the name
mm-hmm.
into that.
Yeah.
And so for me here in the state of Maryland, it's actually a tax write-off.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Yep. I don't know about all states. You got to get with your financial advisor on that.
Yeah.
But in certain states, they allow it if you have a small business for it to be a tax write-off.
Yeah,
wow.
For sure. That's something that's important to us. I mean, even within this year, we like to have conversations about 5 years in advance or so. So we already know how much we want to contribute. You know, we agreed on $500 a month mm-hmm. toward the 529 would be
a
good thing to do. We want to start that this year.
Oh, man. 500 a month?
Yeah.
Go with it. I'm not doing $500 a month. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm lying. Between all of my nephews and myself, yeah. I am at 500 a month.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that like towards my future kid if I have a kid.
I got right? you. I got you.
But it's like, if y'all know for sure you're going to have a child,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
like that's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now that's 19 years. If y'all, you know, work on having a child this year and mm-hmm. have a child next year,
mm-hmm.
that's 20 years mm-hmm. that your $500 a month
mm-hmm.
will be able to now, you're cutting a check to your kids
mm-hmm.
For sure for college. And let's just say they do not
mm-hmm.
Use that. Let's say they don't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, Dad, Mom, I want to go to a trade school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's cool, great. They can use it for anything yeah. around education.
Yep. Yep.
And then whatever they do not use, they can just turn it into an IRA,
mm-hmm.
and now they're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently just did a show and showed people how to turn your kids into a multimillionaire before they even graduate high school.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very big on, for me, I haven't opened up an IRA yet for my kids because they got to have a Social Security number for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and I couldn't do an UTMA because you got to have a Social Security for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was a 529. 529, first step is if you go to any kind of education, cool, that's going to be there. We're going to mm-hmm. use all those funds. When they do, when they are born, I'm going to create an UTMA or an IRA. But I want to set them up to where there's two main things. Mm-hmm. Here's some money that you can use to go to school.
Yeah.
Here's some money for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the requirement is going to be you can't borrow any consumer debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to continue investing into the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the point to where you can, I want you to do 15% of your income to the IRA. If the kid just maintains $100 a month into the IRA that I provide them by the time they turn 21 from graduating from college, trade school, or any kind of education program, by the time they turn 45, they'll be worth $10 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
They'll be worth $10 million.
Wow.
Because it will be almost 50 years
mm-hmm. yeah.
that I've invested very minimum,
mm-hmm.
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they take it over, and then they invest more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep adding on to
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, man, we have to be in a position to where we got to start thinking as couples mm-hmm. and as parents to be, okay, what's the best thing I can do to position our kids?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, because you all are debt-free, now you have more margin to do things that you two can enjoy doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then be in a position now to where when your child is born, I'm telling you, I don't know what that feeling is because I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm blessed to have a kid, if I do have a kid, because at mm-hmm. 40, I don't know if I'm going to have a kid to be
honest. Yeah, for sure.
You know, but I'm like, if I do, I wonder what that feeling is going to be like looking at my son or daughter for the very first time saying, you're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I love that.
You're yep. not going to have to borrow any kind of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like more freeing than us being free.
I'm serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing that your seed, that God has called you to steward
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and to raise and train, you are positioning them to be financially well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Y'all just gave me a good idea.
What's that?
I literally just talk about. I just was talking to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna do a checklist on how to position your kids to win financially.
Mm.
I love it.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Yep.
All right.
I'm serious because I think parents want to know how to do it, but they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
They don't know what are the things I can do to really set my kids up
mm-hmm.
to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you start thinking about it when it's not too late, but,
yeah. but it is
the
too
sacrifices
late.
Get bigger.
Yeah. So like, I got parents coming to me, my kid's 15, what can I do to get them to college without racking up any debt?
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not too late, but it's like now we got to go to extreme measures.
Yeah.
You got to go to an in-state or community college.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to pivot. You may have to go to 2 years here, maybe mm-hmm. do this program.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were thinking about this before your child was born or even in the younger ages.
Yeah.
We could have did a lot to guarantee that, hey, if your kid wants to go out of state,
mm-hmm.
they have the opportunity to go out of state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if I have $200,000 in that account in the 529,
mm-hmm.
I'm still requiring my kid to not go out of state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because why spend that money when we can use that money to pay for all of your education and then, boom, We can invest the rest of it to let it grow.
Yeah.
You're going to get the same education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is good. Yeah. This is good.
Mm-hmm. A lot of our, you know, people our age were realizing, you know, I don't even know what a 529 is. I'm like, I brought it up. Hey, man, you know what a 529 is? I've been looking into it. Now, what is that?
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And when I talk to like friends about it, it's like, nah, I don't know what it is. Right? Even I've been like sending it out to like friends with kids who were like not infants, but like not old enough where, hey, maybe you got some time and figure
something out. You got a lot of time.
But, you know, yeah, it's just not talked about, especially enough in our community.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not. Which is why I really, really, it's why I love doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I love shows like Earn Your Leisure, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I love Dave Ramsey. I still listen to his show because he's the guru in our space.
Yeah.
And I think that we need this education.
Mm-hmm.
And in our community, I think our community would be stronger if we just had the information.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, we are the most creative group of people, I believe, but then we lack the system, strategies, and knowledge to take our gifts and our talents to the level to where it's profitable in our families, in our communities.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm curious, when y'all hit a hard spot in paying off your debt,
mm-hmm.
how did y'all two come together? Because I'm pretty sure over 4 years of paying off your debt, y'all probably thought about giving up at least one time so y'all can go do this and buy this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kept y'all going? Or did y'all honestly never hit a hard spot? Y'all was like, nah, we want this freedom too much. Nothing really stopped us.
Yeah, nothing really stopped us in the sense of wanting to continue.
Okay.
We never had a moment in the sense of like, this is too much, let's stop.
Yeah.
Life happens,
mm-hmm.
right? In fact, that was part of the sense of urgency, especially like for me, right? Since, you know, I was going bringing it to her, I would tell her, look, we don't know who we could wake up tomorrow and we don't have here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna throw us off our axis, right? And, you know, we don't know, like, tomorrow's not promised, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, hey, look, we're here now. All right, everybody's healthy, we're good, we're employed, da-da-da. Okay, this is the time, student loan pause, like, all these factors in place. But then, again, you know, life happens, right? And so what we did was we set principles in place.
So good.
Family, right? We're not going to jip on family. Hey, babe, my cousin's birthday dinner is, okay, cool, let's move mm-hmm. some. Or, hey, you know, I got some extra side gig money to supplement. Because a lot of the side gig money wasn't even enough sometimes to, like, kill the debt. It would just mm-hmm. be to supplement our lifestyle so we could still take her out on dates.
Okay.
And still have fun things, because
that was important.
That was mm-hmm. important.
Yeah,
that was important.
Because y'all are sacrificing.
Yeah.
She still needs to feel loved, valued, cherished, and wifey.
Yeah.
Not just work, and there's no joy, fun, peace.
Yeah.
Did y'all do any vacations while y'all were paying off the debt?
Yeah, we did.
Nice vacation?
So we had our honeymoon.
Okay.
Which my mom paid for the bulk of it.
Okay.
So we got to go to Jamaica.
Duh.
So we milked that as much as we could.
Like, heck yeah.
Which was actually a year into our marriage, which I think helped.
Yeah.
Because we got married in COVID, so we waited a year later. Weird.
So we couldn't travel anyway the first part, but by the time we did, it was like, okay.
What resort y'all go to in Jamaica? I remember the name of it?
Iberostar.
Right. Okay. I know where it is. Okay.
Yeah, it was nice.
How long y'all stay?
It was a week.
A week.
Yeah, it was nice.
So y'all did Jamaica.
Yeah.
What's the next vacation while y'all was paying off?
Oh, we went to like Gatlinburg with some friends.
Nice.
For our anniversary trip, surprise with a trip to South Carolina.
We're at Myrtle Beach?
No, was that Outer Banks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we went out there, and that's one of the, so she was, especially since she, like I said, even after we had a conversation of, hey, I'm down.
Yeah.
It was still, like, emotionally, she still had to catch up, right?
I didn't want to do beans and rice.
I'm with you. I don't like to do beans and rice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wasn't on board with that. So what I realized, one of the things that we had to hit was, you know, because I'd be good. 3 years, I could be just coasting.
Right.
Maybe we go out to eat here and there, nothing really crazy. But she needed a different type of fuel source.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember we had, this is maybe a year in or so, and, you know, we really been going in, and, you know, she been staying steady, because her whole income would just go to, we didn't use her, we only live off my income.
Okay.
So all her income would just go to that, and any extra income from my side gigs go to that. Any raises, we just lived off of how we lived from year one, and then we just moved that over to the mm-hmm. debt.
Yep.
And so it was tiring, right? And I remember I had some extra money come in from a gig, and I was like, all right, well, you know, anniversary's coming up again. And so did like a little staycation thing down in the city. Got a nice like Airbnb downtown.
Nice.
And you know, like just, you know, went to a nice spot down there, a nice restaurant. And it was like, hey, let's just live lavish tonight. Yes. Right. Because the extra money that came in wasn't even part of the plan.
Okay.
It would have just helped.
Yes.
But it was more important, like, you know, we have a saying like we like to use like progress over preferences.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that you don't make room for preferences, because it's important to continue with the progress.
I 110% agree. Hmm. Everyone always asks me, like, all right, man, you're not with Dave Ramsey anymore. Rice and beans, I gotta do rice and beans all the time. I said, I think you all miss his analogy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Ramsey means rice and beans, beans and rice, right? Mm-hmm. And I always say, hey, man, put some butter in the rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like perfect. That.
put some butter in the rice.
Yeah.
I remember when I grew up on rice,
mm-hmm.
but when you put butter on that rice, mm-hmm. it tastes better.
Yeah, it transforms it.
Yeah.
And I think put some joy, put some fun
mm-hmm.
in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pause. Like you mm-hmm. said, hey, mm-hmm. tonight, today, mm-hmm. this weekend, we're gonna live that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But come Monday, we're back to rice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that fuels you up for the week.
Absolutely.
For the month.
Absolutely, man.
And I didn't even need lavish. Like, I really didn't need.
You needed something to just keep you excited.
I mean, we would build forts in our living room. Like,
that's so dope.
I just needed memories. I didn't want to look back and feel like, okay, we sacrificed all of our joy to get this. Like, we can sacrifice things, but I didn't want to sacrifice memories. Like, we would go to the park and play frisbee. Like, it didn't have to cost money. I just wanted to know that we were putting effort into, like, enjoying our time together still.
Yeah. Park is free. Frisbee's free.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I agree with you. I'm building a business debt-free, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I got to make a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
And what I do is I treat myself to a real nice vacation every July.
Mm-hmm.
But I make just as much money as some of my team members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, hey, I'm building something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like you. I'm like, hey, I need to feel like I still own the company a little
bit.
So I'm like, I'm about to do this really expensive vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when I come back, it's like, okay, cool, great. We're on grind time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just bought a studio that we're moving to. We actually have it. We're moving into it actually the next season.
Congratulations.
That's
so
huge.
I'm super excited about that, right? And I'm like, but that requires sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't sacrifice. I don't want to fire none of my team members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm like, okay, all right. And then I was about to build my dream home.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to cost me a little bit over $3 million.
Yeah.
And it was right on the Potomac River.
Mm.
Wow.
The house was going to have a rooftop.
Wow.
On the river.
Yeah.
When you walk out my back door, I'm 10 feet from the river.
Mm-hmm.
The house was approved to have a dock to where I could have eventually bought a boat.
Wow.
Bank approved me.
Mm.
And my budget was, I think I was going to be right around 1.5. I said, I could do 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to put down about half of it and mm-hmm. pay the other half off in about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then the builder came back because of COVID. And said, man, yeah, no, I can't build this house for 1.5. It's going to cost me about 3.2.
Mm. Wow.
I said, watch this. Went back to the bank. Approved me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, I can't afford that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He said, no, you can't. I said, no, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Y'all are crazy. I even told the banker, I said, you're crazy to approve me. Why am I paying $35,000 a month for a mortgage?
Mm. Wow.
I said, there's no way in heck.
Yeah.
I said, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what? And so I had the approval.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me was like, technically.
Yeah.
Because you have the pool, you know what I'm saying? You'll be in a very nice house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the house was coming with a three-story rooftop, pool was going to be on the side, the back. I can go out there and get me a little boat and be riding on the river. It was a two-car garage, but a high level to where you could put the rack in it and put four cars in it to rise up.
Wow.
Boy, I was like, oh, this is dope.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I took my team by there. Yeah. I showed them the lake. I showed them the land. It was like, oh, this is dope. I put down the money. I'm like, oh, this is mine. And I said, is it really worth it? Is my peace worth that? Because I knew I needed a building. You know, you all are in my home today, but and y'all are real cool, but I don't know if I want to spend the next few years with a wife bringing in people who I do not know into my personal home. You know? And I was like, okay, wait, now we got to make a wise decision here. Do we want to get a house, a big house, that you and, it's just you and your dog right now? And, or do you want to go get a building? And so I made a call. I said, all right, I really wanted a pool. That's what I really, really wanted. I love water, and I've always wanted a pool in my house. I always wanted three things: a gym, a movie theater, and a pool. And this house that I have here is beautiful. It is too much room for me and my dog Raven. So I said, you know what? Instead of me spending $3.5 million on a home, let me just spend $100,000, put a pool in the backyard, and go get my team and I a real dope studio that's going to turn into an asset to buy. So that way I can have financial freedom. And I think we all got to make sacrifices and live way below our means. Because a part of building wealth and a part of having increase in freedom, increase in abundance, increase in wellness is having decrease in liabilities. And so now that you all have this decrease in liabilities, what's next for this couple? Like, where are y'all going next? Now that you have, now that you're back to where you wanted to be at, now that you see your future, I'm curious, what do you all see in the next 5 years for this union?
So we, I mean, we talk about the 5-year game plan like often, and it changes, it shifts as life, you know, happens. You know, we know we definitely want, like I say, kids within the next year. We, like I said, we're, saving up for both of our cars right now. Like I said, I've driven my car for 10 years. Toyota Camry. And just traded that in. You know, and got my car. And getting her car. And
did you pay cash for it, your car?
So we did the next best thing. So this is the story we tell people. So we were saving up for the car to purchase it outright. And we knew we wanted to pay for it end of January. Right, and we wanted to do it cash. And I've had this car in my phone for a year. While driving my Toyota Camry. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I was going to have to go out of state to find it because it was in a very specific color on the exterior. And usually it came with the plush red color inside that I'm not a fan of. So I was like, man, I can't find it anywhere. So I found it down the street in Kentucky, pre-certified on only 20,000 miles, one user, no accident. All the things that I was looking for. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, hey, can I put down a deposit and you hold it? Now, I know you were a car salesman. So you know they don't do that. Because somebody could walk in today
and buy it.
You know what I mean? So they were like, no, we can't do it. I was like, all right, all right. So if we put down everything we have now, when will the first note be? Oh, you put down everything you have now, it'll be about $300. The first note will be due end of January. I said, all right, babe, if we do this and we just pay it off before the first note is due, how would you feel about that? She said, okay, let's do it. So we got it, and we bought it December 1st, and it'll be paid off in a couple weeks.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Got your car. No debt. And here's the thing. I love cars. I love cars. I spend my money on cars, and I don't say cars. Like, I'd be having a whole bunch of cars. I don't have a whole bunch of cars, but that's where you can see where I spend my money. My home, my car, and my business. You know, only reason why I get new clothes for this is because my team told me. It was like, hey, man, your thumbnails are starting to look the same. Can you buy some more clothes?
Look at that, bro. I see
you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, this is ASOS, though. Don't get it twisted. ASOS. You know what I'm saying? This turtleneck is also ASOS. So I spent for this whole outfit maybe about $25. Clothes is not my thing, right? I try to get into like nice little name brand stuff, and and I have some name brand clothes here and there just to mix and match, you know,
the
quality.
For sure.
But it's like, man, I know, but it's like when you work as hard as what what we've done with paying off our debt and living that lifestyle, I see nothing wrong with buying what you want to buy. You know, everyone knows I bought a Bentley. And I'm like, yeah. But at the same time, I've probably done things that a lot of people have not done. You know, when I was making six figures, I still drove my Acura TL with a lot of miles on it, over 200,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
I remember driving that car with no AC. I remember taking a woman out on a date saying, "You're Anthony O'Neill. Why are you driving this?" And I turned right back around and took her straight home. Like, I remember being judged because people see me on TV, people see me on social media blowing up, but I'm pulling up in a, you know what I'm saying, an Acura TL in a one-bedroom apartment, eventually built me a house. And when I bought the house, I still was driving that. Then I gradually jumped up. Like, I left an Acura TL. I went and bought a BMW. Bought that cash, though. Like, it was like $25,000. Then the engine went out on that. Then I went back to my Acura TL. Drove that for another year, then bought me a Porsche. After the Porsche, I paid cash for that. I totaled that, drove that. Didn't want to lose that, but I totaled that in a snow. And then I bought a Range Rover. Drove that for years. Then I bought the Bentley. You know, and I paid for that cash. And it was so refreshing to walk into that place and tell them, like, hey, I'm paying cash. And they wanted a particular amount, but I've been saving for almost 2 years. So even when I bought my used cars, my Porsche, my Range Rover, I was still saving for the Bentley. So I was, I knew I'm going to take this amount of money from that account to go buy the car, but I'm still saving for the Bentley. And so I was getting some money. For a while, and I never touched it. That money is going to that account, never touching it. I called it literally on my account. I think I was getting like $20,000 a month from this particular organization. From this deal that I had. I was all right, that's my Bentley account. So I had all the money going to that account. I never saw it. I said, because I'm going to save. It hit a certain amount of money. I went and bought a Range Rover. But then the money came in, never touched it, boom.
That's the way to do it.
But it felt so good to walk in. And to drive home and wake up on the first of the month, I don't have a car note. It just feels good. And I love the fact that that's what we're about. I'm curious, with today's society, with you hearing a lot of people saying, man, you got to leverage other people's money to be wealthy, to make this stuff right here. Why do you all not take advantage of leveraging other people's money? What do you all say? Because I'm not knocking it, you know what I'm saying? But why do you all want to go the debt-free route?
You know, I run into a lot of people who will throw around like a lot of like very sophisticated language. And I'm very big on simplicity. And it's like, oh, well, you know, you do this and this interest and you get the points and the rewards and And, you know, I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, that looks like a lot of bells and whistles. But then when you move behind the curtain, I mean, what happened to Wizard of Oz when they move behind the curtain? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, well, it doesn't really look like anything's really happening as far as progress goes. Everybody's talking about their credit score. I mean, when we paid off our debt, my credit score was 815. It paid off, and then, you know, sometimes it take a while to catch up. So I was looking at it, and I'm like, let me go ahead and dispute this, because I need to update this. It dropped from 815.
Facts.
To 750.
Facts.
Immediately. But my net worth had increased. Right? Everything was up. Income was up. But now my... So when I hear people talk about, hey, other people's money, leverage this, leverage that, I feel like it, you get caught up in this game and you never actually spend time building a foundation that you can actually grow from. And with us, you know, when we think about like staying debt free, not utilizing, you know, credit cards and leveraging different things, we want things that we get to actually be ours. And we want the authenticity of feeling like, hey, we accomplished this and that's it. I tell a lot of time, like, look, I'm excited about the car, you know, but like for me, the biggest part of it is that it's going to be ours immediately, right? You know what I mean? Because she had to tell me, like, all right, babe, look, I know you wanted to just go in there outright buy it, but like it'll be gone if we do that, if we finish saving up and we don't know if we'll find it again. You got to remember, I only having this for a month, and the note not even being due after when you paid it off,
right?
That's an accomplishment, man. So it's like, and she had to kind of ground me on that, you know what I mean? Help me get to the next level. But that's what we want for our life.
And honestly, man, you know, I tell people this. One guy called me and said, Ayo, if I pay cash, they will not give me a discount. But if I finance it, they'll take $7,000.
That's crazy.
I said, huh.
Because they don't know you're going to pay it off.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he was like, but they told me that if I finance it, that they will take off $7,000, because they're going to make that on the back end because they get a portion of the interest.
Yeah.
Right? I said, well, here's the truth, bro. They do, but they only get a portion of the interest if you keep that car for 6 months, if you make six consecutive payments.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay it off within 30 days, they will not get that kickback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, so if they're going to give you a discount for $7,000, sign a piece of paper, come home. When you get that first statement from your bank, pay it all off.
Yeah.
I said, but you got to pay it all off, bro. Like, do not get comfortable and be like, oh, I just made this $500 payment.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to pay cash for it, pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, this is what I need you to do. So I literally did something that was just very over extreme, but I really wanted him to like really understand how important it is. So he and I signed an agreement. If you do not pay off this car, you got to cut a check for $5,000 to a nonprofit that I choose.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
And he was like,
accountability.
Accountability. So I said, so within the next 45 days, I need you to email me a receipt of you paying off or a screenshot of you paying off the car.
Mm-hmm.
He paid. He sent it to me in 20 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 days.
Yeah.
So he got the $7,000 discount.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't pay any interest.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't finance it.
Mm-hmm.
It hit his credit report, I think he said, for like one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he said when it hit, it said paid in full when it hit.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't mind people using a system to save you money, but stick to the goal that you have, which is financial freedom.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And so I love it. So what are y'all doing about a house, man? Are y'all gonna get a house? Y'all gonna buy a house?
Yeah. So we want to pay for a house. We just don't want to go back.
Right?
So,
pay for a house cash?
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So we want to pay for a house cash.
So how long is that gonna take you to save money?
It'd be a little under 3 years.
How much y'all trying to save?
About 200,000.
200?
Yeah. 200,000.
Okay.
We live in Ohio.
Yeah, so you can get a house over there for about 200.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Y'all can get a house for about 200.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. I mean, yeah, 3 years, pay for it cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with y'all financing it, too, though, and paying it off in 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
If y'all want to save and do it, man, do what y'all want to do.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of financial freedom.
Options.
You get to choose whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay, you may not do it this way, like what they're doing it, but I work this hard to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not what y'all tell me I should do.
Yeah.
And now we know what we're capable of, too.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
That's the biggest
thing. So, like, in 3 years, I don't know, the plan could change, but, we know what we're capable of doing.
I think for us, like, it was when I talked to her about it, because, again, she was comfortable, like, hey, we can just get a mortgage, whatever, whatever. And I was like, well, like, when I was kind of mapping out, like, our retirement plan, I was like, I'd rather take that and put it toward overloading our investments so that we hit our number by an ideal age.
Mm.
And, you know, with everything that we mapped out using that Ramsey investment calculator, you know, trusty dusty, you know, it's looking good. So,
ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do here at the table, man. I am so grateful that y'all decided to stop by and share your story and your journey.
Thanks
you
for
all
us.
For sharing it, for being honest, for being transparent, and for showing us that it can be done.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
For showing that it can be done with a young couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think oftentimes we see older couples doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see young minority couples coming together saying, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And you all have a dope, dope, dope idea. Like, hey, now since we're doing it, plans may change. But as of right now, we're going to save up and pay cash. And I would encourage y'all to stick to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because not a lot of couples can say they went and paid cash for a home.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's just another piece of your journey and testimony that y'all will be able to tell your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That y'all, we don't have any payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all taking y'all kids now to Israel to learn about Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not tripping because y'all don't have any mandatory bills mm-hmm. back at home that is lingering over you all. Y'all can do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, man, that's peace. Yeah. I can't wait to get married. I'm like, babe, where you want to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Or babe, what you want? You want to just go right here? All right, let's go.
And I encourage people, like, you know, when we don't get to talk about this often, but when we were kind of growing while paying off the debt,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of it was, you know, being intentional with our careers and kind mm-hmm. of growing that income, you know, and a lot of people, you know, fall victim to lifestyle creep. And we're like, okay, well, we want to figure out a way, like you said, put some butter in the rice.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, well, let's go ahead and get a new car since we hit this mark financially, hit this figures or whatever, let's go ahead and get that subscription. Let's go ahead and order Peacock.
Mm.
So it was little wins, but psychologically, it amped us up. So now, when we are on the other side of debt-free, you know, where before I'd be like, hey, babe, you went to Starbucks again? Now it's like, hey, babe, why didn't you buy that jacket? She's like, because cutting. So now the roles are reversed. Now the roles are reversed. She's like, dang, baby, you got something else? I'm like, yeah, baby, I did. It's like, you sure you don't want that car, baby? And that's why. Like, she literally saw a night and day transfer. I used to tell her, like, baby, there's a difference between cheap and broke. I said, there's a difference.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But the difference is a lot of people who, you know, maybe who are around us or our circle would be doing things, right? And maybe she doesn't know how much they make. Maybe she does know how much they make. Or, oh, I know what they do, but, like, they're living like this. And it's like, okay, well, babe, but what's happening behind it? I said, like, when we're doing that, I want it to be real behind the scenes.
Facts.
And, you know, I've been grateful to have Orion with me, and, you know. This,
brother, y'all winning, man. Let me tell you, man, stop going to Starbucks and go get you get you one of them espresso machines, you know.
Yeah.
I made that investment. It changed my life. And I wasn't a coffee drinker,
mm-hmm.
and I have some friends who exposed me to different kinds of coffee that mm-hmm. are, man, listen, I did the math, and I'm like, why are people not buying the machines?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Because you save so much money and you get the exact same flavor of Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, Starbucks.
I don't like coffee.
You don't like coffee?
No, I just learned how to make a matcha at home. And
yeah, listen. Yeah. So that's what I do. Yeah. I do a latte or matcha, latte matcha, and I love it. But it's like my dad is a coffee lover. My parents are coffee lovers. And now when they come to the house, they just throw in that machine. And my dad is like, okay, I need one for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you save money by buying the machine.
Yeah. That and cooking at home.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, why are y'all still spending $6 to $10 on a cup of coffee every
mm-hmm.
day? Well, yes, you're going to spend a lot of money on a good machine.
Yeah.
But if you do the math, 3 to 5 months, you paid off the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're in the green.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, y'all, we're way over time.
Yeah.
Y'all, I appreciate y'all for watching the show, you guys. We're going to drop all their information in today's show notes, you guys. We love you. We thank you for rocking with us this long, man. Let us know in the comments how you enjoyed today's show. Hit that subscribe button. Join the E3 family. Remember, we're increasing in abundance, wellness, and freedom. All right? We'll see you in the next show. Peace out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.